After the stock market's Friday skid, the first minutes of Monday trading aren't much better. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Friday, the Dow fell 665 points, more than 2%. Now, overnight, the Nikkei in Japan fell by a similar percentage. Hong Kong fell more than 1%. Stock indicators in Europe are also down 1.3% in London. And 22 minutes into the trading day on Wall Street, I see that the Dow is down 256 points, 1% even. The S&P 500 is down 0.6%. The NASDAQ Composite down 0.7%. It is the biggest tumble since two summers ago when British voters decided to leave the European Union, and certainly the worst stock market stretch of the Trump presidency. This risk aversion is due in part to a renewed sense that interest rates in America will go higher. This after the Friday jobs report showed wages up nearly 3% when annualized. Let's go live to economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
So volatility like this, many of us almost forgot what it felt like.
Indeed, we got rather complacent, you might say. So volatility is rising across stocks and bonds and currencies. So it's back.
Now, for months, I would check in on the VIX index. That's an indicator of market volatility. It was down near 9 at the beginning of this year, low volatility. Now it's up at about 18, more volatile. In fact, it's up 37% this morning alone. So you can see it even in the figures here.
That's right. That's right. And that reflects, I think you put your finger on it earlier, rising interest rates. Stock markets got very used to long-term interest rates between 2 and 2.5, and now we're getting a lot closer to 3, and there's a little bit more inflation, there's a little bit more chance that the Fed's going to raise interest rates, and this is what's sort of rocking the stock market and adding volatility. But let's keep it in perspective. We're still up 2.5% on the year and almost 20% last year, so if we go through a good old-fashioned correction, that would not at all be surprising at this stage.
I know. And also just this notion that some market participants were surprised that the general trend is higher interest rates. I mean, most of us got the memo about that from the Fed as sent by the Federal Reserve.
They have been telling us this for a long time. They expected inflation to, that wage growth would pick up as the labor market tightened, and that would bring a little bit more inflation and therefore a need for higher interest rates. They have been hammering that message home month after month. And so there really shouldn't be a surprise that this is happening, but stock markets tend to see the glass half full almost always.
Julia, thank you so much. Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Now to Wells Fargo, a big bank in big trouble with regulators. The Federal Reserve has now ordered Wells Fargo to kick 4 members off of its board and is also hobbling the bank for a time. This is all connected to the scandal that emerged back in 2016, in which, among other things, Wells employees opened fraudulent accounts for customers. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
The latest set of punishments limits Wells Fargo's growth until management has a new plan that the Fed believes can prevent future customer fraud and abuse. Wells Fargo won't be allowed to increase its assets over about $2 trillion, where the books stood at the end of last year.
They told Wells Fargo, you can't grow until you clean up your act. It sort of suggests that they really haven't cleaned up their act yet.
Peter Cohen teaches business at Babson College and holds Wells Fargo stock. He says the Fed's crackdown seems more severe even than what befell banks that played a central role in the financial crash.
You could make the case that executives that caused the financial crisis were under-penalized and that Wells Fargo is being appropriately penalized.
Wells Fargo insists its bad behavior is behind it now. The current CEO estimates the penalties could reduce profits by up to $400 million. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Wells Fargo stock is down 8% at the moment. Yes, the last government shutdown seems like yesterday, but the temporary spending plan that reopened it expires this coming Thursday. There's a lot tied up in the budget negotiations. For instance, continued funding for community health centers. Today, leaders from those clinics, which provide health services to 1 in 12 people in the U.S. are headed to D.C. to make their case for renewed funding. From our health desk at WHYY, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Westside Family Healthcare of Delaware has closed one of its 5 clinics.
One of our health centers' lease was up.
CEO Lolita Lopez says the threat of losing federal funding and state budget cuts forced Westside to close its clinic in Middletown. And it's gotten harder to recruit and retain doctors, dentists, and mental health workers.
And that is really not a very comfortable space to be in running any kind of business.
Clinics nationwide are funded through March, but Dan Hawkins with the National Association of Community Health Centers says without new money, patients will pay the price.
2,800 healthcare sites will have to close. 50,000 of the people who work at health centers will have to be furloughed, and 9 million people will no longer have access to care.
Those estimates come from the federal health officials who oversee the clinics. Hawkins says health centers are lobbying Congress for a 2-year funding extension. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Today, the Family and Medical Leave Act became law. This gives workers time to care for newborns or loved ones who are sick. Yet the U.S. lags. Here's Marketplace's Jed Kim.
FMLA grants most U.S. workers 12 weeks of leave. Pranita Gupta with the Center for Law and Social Policy says for most, it's unpaid.
It doesn't help with their family's economic security. So people end up dropping out of the workforce.
President Trump's State of the Union address called for paid family leave, but it's not clear what form that would take or how it would be funded. A Republican-sponsored plan would incentivize businesses to offer it by giving them tax credits. A Democratic plan would use a modest payroll tax. Meanwhile, more businesses are just offering paid leave. Emily Schwerin-White co-owns WS Badger, which makes organic body care products. It gives 2 weeks of medical leave whenever it's needed, plus an additional 3 weeks for newborn bonding.
We didn't actually take the time to calculate how much that would cost. It felt like the right thing.
She says the decision helps retain employees. I myself will be back here in a couple months. From today, I'm taking paternity leave so I can bond more with this guy. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Aw, the Dow is down 215 points, 0.8% now. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.